You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
There was this Baptist minister. Everybody say, God bless Baptist. Could have said International Outreach. It doesn't matter. I love Baptists. We thank God for what they're doing. There's this Baptist minister who went to this town to hold this revival in this town, and he got there, checked in his hotel and everything, and realized he didn't bring his toothbrush, didn't bring his razor, didn't bring any of the essentials, a shaving kit. And so he contacted the pastor. He said, Pastor, man, I've messed up here. I didn't bring any of this. And he says, well, he says, if you need to shave, there's a place down the street here. The lady runs a haircut place, a barber shop over there. She does shaves and does also haircuts. So just go on down there. Her name's Gracie. Go on down there. So he did. He went down and got a shave and a haircut, you know. And so he's holding this revival, and he preaches that night, gets up the next morning. He's thinking, man, I don't even need a shave. I don't know what the deal is. So he preaches the second night, and he gets, you know, this keeps going on. About 3 or 4 days, he finally contacts Pastor. He said, I don't know what in the world she did, but I went down to Gracie's, and I got that haircut and a shave, and I have not had to shave for 3 days. He said, oh, once you get shaved by Grace, you don't need to get shaved again. Okay. I want to talk about grace this morning. I know the last few weeks we've been talking about grace and favor, which is the same thing. In fact, if you were to study in the Hebrew Old Testament or the Greek New Testament, the word translated grace is also translated favor. It's the same word. In New Testament, of course, it's charis. Everybody say charis. You know, that's grace. Charismatic is just someone that operates or is run by grace. So I'll take that label any day of the week. I operate and run by grace. Amen. All Christians do in that sense. They said charismatic because of 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the gifts of grace, and it lists the 9 gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. But actually, literally, if you just took the word apart, we're all charismatic in that sense if we're Christians, because we all run by grace. Amen. Pneumatics is runs by air. Automatic runs by itself. Charismatic runs by grace. So charis means favor. It's more than just what we think of in terms of being born again. Yes, we need grace to be born again because there's no way you can be good enough to go to heaven. I understand that. But grace is more than just being saved. There's the grace of giving. There's the grace of life. There's grace is favor. We need favor. Amen? Amen. Amen? Yes. We need God's favor, God's grace. You know, I've said this many times in this series, and it makes sense, that mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. That's mercy. You've committed a crime, and they're merciful, and they let you go, as it were. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Someone offers you something, you didn't deserve it at all. And God has been merciful to us in one sense, that He didn't penalize us. He didn't cause us to pay for our sins. We couldn't, and we deserved hell, but His mercy kept us from going there. But we're not in limbo. He graced us by giving us something we didn't deserve, which is heaven. It's often said that's two sides of one coin. It's the coin called love. Mercy on one side, forgiving you for what you deserved, and grace on the other side, giving you what you don't deserve. I like that. That's good. Good stuff. So grace is something that, you know, we're saved by. It's something that's come into our life because of just God's love, His favor. It's not something that you come up with or yourself. It's not something you earned. It's not something that you attained to. Not a one of us in here ever got saved because we're so good. Not a one of us are ever going to stay saved because we're so good. It's the grace of God that saves us. I believe we should live holy. I believe in moral living. I believe in staying in the faith, as it were, after you get saved. But I'm not saved by works, and I don't maintain my salvation by works, as it were. I stay in faith by works. Amen. Works help my faith. I mean, obviously, if I don't go to church, don't read my Bible, my faith is going to wane. Isn't that right? I mean, there are things that I can do to encourage my faith. There's things that I can do to destroy my faith. That's why the Bible doesn't say, you know, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, period, nothing else. It never talks about loving your brother and forgiving each other and living holy. The Bible goes on and talks about a lot of things because we need to, after we're saved, to stay holy and moral as a witness before God and to encourage our faith, because it's only faith that saves us. Amen. Hallelujah. I ran across an interesting verse here in Romans 5 that I want to get to and just talk about it. I, man, to get to it, I got to back up too. And that's what always dangerous for me. To put it in context, you know, I always want to start at Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's start there, you know. But in Romans 5, rather several verses, if I can read through them quickly and then get to the one I want to get to. And maybe we could beat the Baptist to the Dairy Queen. But well, I'm picking on the Baptist, aren't I? You know, I should say Methodists or Pentecostals or whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're pro-church here. We love churches. Man, I was raised Church of Christ and got in just an atheistic lifestyle and drugs and jails and the whole nine yards. And I got saved and I joined a Baptist church. I was a Baptist for a while. And then I started going to Lakewood Church. John Osteen was my pastor for years. John Osteen, the father of Joel Osteen. You might have heard of him. He's kind of got a well-known ministry. So I've been kind of the gamut, and I've preached in a lot of different churches all around the world. So I'm pro-church. I don't care. You know, if you love Jesus and you know the Lord and you're preaching Him, that's what we need to do. Amen? Okay, so don't take that out of context when I say God bless the Baptist. 12th verse. Notice what it says in the 5th chapter of Romans, chapter 12. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It's similar to the King James. It just takes the yea, verily, forsooth, peradventure, and hitherto's out. You may be reading another translation. It should go pretty much the same. But it says, therefore, just as though, as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. That's interesting the way he says that, because really the world's lost not because of all their sins. The world's lost because of Adam's sin. And Adam was the father of all mankind. And so everybody born through Adam obviously was born in sin. That's called the law of like kinds. You find that in the first chapter of Genesis, that everything bears after its own kind. He says that over and over. He makes trees that bear after their own kind. He makes birds that bear after their own kind. Cattle, fish of the sea that bear after their own kind. And so then God made man after his own kind. Yes, we were made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. We're not God, but he made us in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1:26, so God said, let us make man after our kind, after our likeness. And so he made man the very image and the likeness of God. Well, now there's a problem with the law of like kinds when someone messes up like Adam, because he was like the father of all mankind. He was the first man. And so everybody he gives birth to is going to be a human, a man or woman, you know, human. But when he sinned, all of a sudden now he can only give birth to sin. So there's the dilemma. The dilemma is not if we could just get the world to be nicer, if we could get the world to be kinder, if we could get the world to be more forgiving, they'd go to heaven. No, you can't be good enough to go to heaven, because the problem is not what you're doing. The problem is who you are.
That's right.
The problem is who we are. We got a dilemma here. We got a problem here. We're all born in sin. We must be born again. That's what Jesus said in John 3, and that's what he meant. Because no amount of doing good, I mean, if you got run over helping a little old lady cross the street, you wouldn't go to heaven for helping that little lady cross the street. You have to know Jesus to go to heaven. You have to be born again to go to heaven. And that makes sense because of the law of like kinds. It's something you see all through Genesis 1. Also, the law of confession. Everything God made by saying. God said, let there be light. God said, let the waters bring forth. God said, let the creatures, you know, everything was made by saying. Everything was made by the Word. I love that. You believe that?
Yes.
John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was not anything made. It was made. So everything was made by the Word. Well, if everything's made by the Word, then everything's subject to the Word. That's why when you pray, things happen. That's why when you pray God's Word and His promises, things begin to change, because that's the substance everything was made from. Woo!
Amen.
Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. And so that's why it's so important to pray God's Word. That's why we operate by faith, walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we have a silent partner, as it were, an invisible means of support. It's not all over when it's over in the natural, because we have access to God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen?
But the problem with mankind comes down to what Adam did. What's wrong with this world is not God. What's wrong with this world is what Adam did.
Amen.
All the evil in the world and the pain in the world and the suffering in the world, God didn't do that. He's not behind that. He explains it in great detail from Genesis all the way to Revelation, or Genesis to the maps. The idea that God is in control of everything really is a foreign idea to the Scripture. The Scripture says God's all-powerful, but He chooses to let you do things that He doesn't agree with. He chooses to let you sin, but He's not sinful and He's not a sinner and He does not commit sin.
Amen.
Okay. But He made the world. That's the way it is. And it's going to come back around just like He said it was. And He's going to come back down just like He said He would. And it's going to be just like He said it's going to be. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's a great drama, great play going on. You and I are the players in this script, in this play. But the problem is you and I don't always follow the script. See, that's the problem of the world. There's too many ad-libbers. We need to follow the script God laid out. Because the play will go on.
Yeah.
With you or without you.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
And so I have several verses that I just got through one with, reviewing. Through Adam, sin came into the world. We know that. And death, through sin, death's not, God doesn't kill. It's not, death's not God's deal. It's not a gift. It's not something wonderful. It's, what's wonderful is on the other side of death for the believer, but it's not too wonderful for the one that doesn't believe. Death was never in God's plan. In fact, Paul said death was God's enemy. He said the last enemy to be put underfoot is death. Jesus came to destroy death, not to honor it and glorify it. He threw death, destroyed death, the Bible says. And so the world's kind of in a mess for sure, but it's not God's mess, it's our mess. And God's going to fix it, and little by little He does it through us. As we pray and as we live for God, we advance His kingdom. We pray His will be done in earth as it is in heaven, because His will's not always done. That's why we pray for it to be done. Are you out there? I don't know why I'm on that tirade. But I'm getting to a point here. You see, you need God's grace. You need His favor. Because if you're just going to go through life without calling on God and not leaning on God and not trusting God, then you're going to be in a mess because God's not behind everything going on. Are you with me? You have to actively pursue God. You have to actively call on God. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to actively believe God and trust God because the promises of God don't just come to pass unless you do trust and you do pray. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say, if you don't ask, it'll happen anyway. He said, seek and you'll find. He didn't say, it'll just pop up on you. You don't even be looking for it. It'll pop up. He said, seek and you'll find. And He said, knock, the door be open. He didn't say, oh, the door's open. Just come on in. The water's fine. Woo! Can you say amen, somebody? I feel a preach coming up. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. The big clarion call of Christianity is come, come, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.
Yeah.
If any man come to me, I'll in no wise cast him out. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Come. See, we can't just wait and wait and wait. No, we got to act. We got to call. We got to come. We got to step up, as it were. Hallelujah. Step up to the grace of God. Step up to the plate of grace. Call on the grace of God. Hallelujah. It's free. It's free. God wants to move in your life, but He has chosen. And He do whatever He wants to. He's God, okay? You can't tell God what to do. God does what He says He will do. He says you must call. And that's just the way it is. He won't do it for you if you don't call on Him.
Amen.
Well, He's God. He can do where He wants to. That's right. And He wants you to call on Him.
Yeah.
That's what He said. See, God's not who you think He is or I think He is. God's who He says He is. And this world is not what you think it is or I think it is. The world is what God says it is. And this is the world God made. God made a world in which your will matters. He made a world in which your choices matter. He made a world in which you can freely choose Him or freely deny Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! I want to choose Him. How about you? Man. So here we are, death. Well, that explains death and sin. That's Adam. That wasn't God. And he says it entered the world because of his sin. It says, for until the law, the 13th verse, the law of Moses is what he's talking about, sin was in the world. Everybody sinned before the law. I mean, they didn't start sinning when Moses came along. I mean, Moses came up with the Ten Commandments. Everybody goes, whoa, let's go lie now. Let's go. I mean, they were already sinning because sin came in the world through Adam. But until the law, there was sin in the world, but sin is not imputed when there was no law. There was no penalty for it. There was no code of, you know, a code for it. This is wrong. Don't do this. They did it. They did wrong. But now it's codified, as it were. It's in a law. Nevertheless, death reigned. But it's interesting. People still died because of sin. That's interesting. People didn't die because God warned them to die. And people don't die today because they want them to die. People die because of sin. Every one of us are going to die because of sin, because of Adam's sin. Even if you're born again and saved, you're going to die unless Jesus comes back before you die because of sin. Because of sin. Death came through sin. Death didn't come through God's will. It didn't come through God's desire. It didn't come because God gave it as a gift to us. Death is a result of sin. And you say, well, what did they do wrong? Well, Adam. It all goes back to Adam. It's not always your sin when something goes wrong. I mean, it could be Adam's sin. Y'all out there? Hallelujah. Deep stuff. Deep stuff. But let's just keep it simple. Stay with the Word. That's what it says. And it says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. In other words, just like everybody was condemned in Adam, he's going to make this case that everybody's justified in Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. So you and I need to get in Christ. Because in Christ, everybody's saved. In Christ, everyone's a child of God. In Christ, everybody's going to heaven. In Christ. Now, whether you're in Him or not, your choice. Bob Dylan wrote a song after he kind of dabbled around with serving God for a while, put out a couple Christian albums. He wrote a song, "You Got to Serve Somebody. It May Be the Devil." I can't even sing as bad as he sings, but anyway. Who can sing as bad as Bob Dylan? I don't know. "It may be the devil. It may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody." You know, and he went through that. And that's true. There is no neutrality here. You're either for God or against God. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. There's no in between. See? And so he says here, he goes on. He says, 15th verse, "But the free gift," whoo, hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Come on, that does something to me.
Yes.
Everybody say, free gift.
Free gift.
Okay. See, this is what salvation is, a free thing. It's not an earned thing. It's free. The free gift is not like the offense or the sin that Adam committed. "For if by one man's offense or sin many died, much more by the grace of God." Much more the grace of God. "And the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." What Adam did, he did selfishly and condemned all of mankind through his sin. What Jesus he did for us unselfishly, and he favored us, he graced us as a favor to us. He gave his life and favored us with a free gift. Adam condemned us because of his selfishness and his sin. Jesus freed us because of his grace and his favor. Get it? See, he's favored us. He offered something out of his kindness, out of his love for us. Far from Adam, Jesus is unselfish and loving and caring and kind and compassionate and has graced and favored us. Adam, on the other hand, did what he did and condemned us all because of his self-centeredness and his rejection of God and his rebellion to God's word and breaking the commandment. Jesus, on the other hand, came down and did just the opposite, even more powerful than what Adam did, which condemned the whole world and took them all into death. Jesus came down and turned that around completely, and much more now the grace of God has saved us and we're going to heaven. As lost could be, as lost as I was and you were, as so bad you couldn't do one thing to get unlost, I mean the power of that sin, the power of what Adam did held the whole world in hostage, in sin and captivity. Jesus comes along and he sets us free, and his righteousness and his grace is more powerful than all the sin of Adam to hold you. Think about it. That's what grace is. That's grace, man. That's woo. Woo. I've been graced. I've been favored. You've been graced and favored with the free gift that came through the death of Jesus, which he willfully gave for you. You were condemned to die and doomed to hell because of sin, because of what the selfish act of Adam. But the unselfish act of Jesus, the grace of God, has saved us. Hallelujah. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense or sin many died, much more, much more, much more. How powerful is that sin that Adam committed? Think about it. How powerful was that sin? It held the whole world in its sway. Not one person could escape it. That's how powerful it was. Well, what Jesus did was more powerful. More powerful than what Adam did in his sin. The free gift is not like the offense, for if by one man's offense many died, much, much more the grace of God. And the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Woo! And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense, one sin Adam committed, resulting in condemnation. Everybody was condemned in Adam. But the free gift Jesus offered, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. Because everybody had sinned, Jesus came and justified everyone. Everyone that accepts it, that is. Everyone that receives it. Because it's a funny thing about gifts. You got to receive them. You can give a gift, but sometimes they reject it.
Yes.
Yeah. Turn it down. Classic case is, of course, Jesus' salvation. He gave to all of us. And how many people reject that and turn that down? Amen. See, the gift's got to be received. You know, I remember I was in India one time, and I was way up in the mountains of India. India was a strange place. I was in South India and the state of Kerala. I was preaching over there in 1980. I spent 6 weeks over at one time, 3 weeks another. And I just preached every day. Before I started pastoring, I was just having a big time preaching, you know, and preached every day, preaching Bible schools, preaching churches, preaching the mountains, preaching streets. And there's just people everywhere in India. It's just hard to even fathom. It's one-third the size of the United States, and they've got 1 billion people over there. You just can't even fathom that. Everywhere you go, there's people. I remember we went as far as we could in a car, and we got in this Jeep, and we crossed a couple little streams, and then we got in the canoe and crossed this river, a big boat-looking canoe boat, crossed this river and climbed up the side of the mountain, and they had a little thatch-roof church up there. People walking around, people everywhere. And I was preaching about the gift of salvation, you know, and that was free, and God offered it to you. And I had this glass of water, which I was really concerned about whether I should drink it or not. Water over there, you got to boil it to drink it, you know. I was preaching, I had this light set up, right? This little light bulb was hanging over this little wood pulpit thing in this thatch roof village. And the electricity over is kind of funny. It's on a different current than ours is. So when I'd speak it, I had a little microphone set up. When I speak to that microphone, the lights would go dim. And then they'd brighten back up again. And when I'd speak and get loud in that microphone, the lights would go dim. Because it was using up the electricity, you know. It was on a different current system. But I had this glass of water, and I said, you know, God's gift of eternal life is like this glass of water. And I said, I could offer it to you, but it does no good unless you come up and receive it. I mean, if I gave it to you, it doesn't mean it's a done deal. You have to come up and you have to receive it. Amen. And the gift of grace, God's grace, has to be received. It has to be accepted by you and me. And that's where free will comes in. Faith doesn't cause my salvation. Faith is the condition of my salvation. Faith has nothing to do with causing my salvation. Are you kidding me? Jesus saved me. Jesus did the work. It's Jesus gets the glory and the honor and the praise. Are you with me? And the thanks. I mean, He did it all. We could not do it. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But faith is a condition in the sense that I have to accept it. I have to receive it, not reject it. So I remember using that glass as an example. And two or three little Hindu ladies back in the back, and you see the little dots in her head. Hinduism over there was rampant, you know. Came down and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior that night. Under that glowing light and thatch roof, you know, village on the mountains. And I'll tell you what, when a Hindu receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's a serious thing. Because their family disowns them. Their very names are Hindu names. In fact, most of all the Christians over there that you meet, there's a lot of them in Kerala. Kerala's got more Christianity in Kerala, the state of Kerala, than the other state. They have names like Abraham and Sarah and John and Mark. And they change their names when they get saved. They change them to biblical names. because of the way they're so enwrapped, their religion and their names and everything so wrapped in who they are. Their family many times will have a funeral for them when they get saved. Disown them completely. But you know, they freely received the gift, which is all you can do, is just receive it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't have enough money for it. You weren't good enough to get it. God didn't get a great catch when he got you. Everybody's a great catch to God. God loves everybody. Amen. Loves you and loves me. But all this thing is a God thing. This eternal life thing, this Christianity thing, this being saved thing. It's not you, it's him. It's just his favor. Hallelujah. It's better the price is right when they'd say, come on down.
Yes.
You know, you're just sitting there, everybody's got a ticket, everybody's got a name. And they're saying, you know, so and so and so, come on down. You know, and everybody just jumps and shouts and does flips and cartwheels all the way down the front. They hadn't won anything yet. You know, they don't even know they're going to win. They just got a chance at it, you know. But it's all just the favor of whoever calls the name out. That's it. Well, the good news is that God's saying to everybody, come on down. Problem is, not everybody's excited about it. Not everybody's getting out of the seat.
Yeah.
A whole lot more people reject it and accept it. But you don't have a chance at winning this thing. You win. If you respond to the call, you will win every time. Hallelujah. You will be received. He will receive you. Hallelujah. So, he says this. I still ain't got the verse I want to preach on today. It's your fault.
Wow.
Got to blame somebody. Okay, now look at this. It says in the sixteenth verse. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense, Adam's sin, resulting in condemnation. But the free gift came through Jesus, came from many offenses, resulting in justification. Justification, righteousness, right standing, justified, justified, never sinned. That's what that means. If you see the word justification, justify, righteous, righteousness, it's all the same Greek word. It's not a different word. So it means to be made right with God. You know, we often say, are you right with God? Or you know, so righteousness and justification comes from, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's not earned. It's a gift. Well, I've been real good. Well, I'm sorry, righteousness is a gift. You know, we don't even have our own righteousness, is what Paul said. He said, having not mine own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. I believe all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have to have His to go to heaven. And this always shocks people, and I always like to do it because I like to shock people. But if God, if you're born again and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, listen very closely to this statement because this sounds almost sacrilegious and shocking, but we need to get a hold of this nonetheless. We need to understand this. If God were standing right here and you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and born again, a Christian. If God were standing right here, He would not be any more righteous than you are.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not as good as God. No, I'm not saying you're as good as God. Well, I'm not saying you do everything right, but you don't have your righteousness.
That's right.
You have His.
That's right. Amen.
And if you don't, you're not going to heaven.
That's right.
Pure and simple. If Jesus is not in your life, you're not going to heaven. If He's not, if you're not trusting in Him and what He did, if you don't have His righteousness, you can't come to church enough. You can't read your Bible enough. Can't be nice enough. And I believe in coming to church and reading the Bible. And I believe in repenting of sin. I believe in living holy. But I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I'm going to heaven because I have died. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And I have a new name. Everything I do now, I do in His name. Every prayer I pray, and pray in His name. Hallelujah. And if God were standing right here, I have His righteousness. Granted, you'd fall on the floor, and I would too. You couldn't stand in His presence. He'd probably pick you right back up, though. Are you with me? He would pick you back up. I'm not saying this arrogantly, not saying it proudly, because there's nothing arrogant or proud about it. There's nothing you and I did to get it. But we've got to reach a point where we believe what God said about this thing and give Him the glory that's due to His name. Either He saved us or He didn't. Either He gave us His righteousness or He didn't. I believe He did. I received the gift. I don't know about you, but I took it.
Yes.
When I found out about it, I reached out and I said, yes, oh, me, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
And I received a gift. And I've been saved. I've been born again. I'm not who I used to be. Hallelujah. Okay. 17th verse 4. By one man's offense, death reigned through the one, Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody, you missed a good place to shout right there. I'm supposed to be reigning in life through this one, Jesus Christ, through this gift of righteousness. I shouldn't go through life afraid and intimidated and wondering if God loves me or cares about me or listens to me or hears me. I should be reigning in life through this gift of righteousness. I have been made right with God. Jesus washed me in His blood. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the living God. He hears me when I pray. He loves me. He's crazy about me. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Woo! Don't say that arrogantly because it's not in my own. It's not. I can't do it on my own. In fact, the Bible tells us, John 15:5, it says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. I understand that. But we are not without Him.
Amen.
Woo! I just preach myself happy. I just amen myself. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Oh, don't hang up now. Okay. 18th verse. Man, I'm going to get down to this verse I want to get to here in a minute. And then we'll just close it out. And that's what I wanted to start as a text. But anyway. 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. Adam's sin, judgment came on everybody. Resulting in condemnation. Everybody's condemned in Adam. Everybody's condemned in the law. Everybody's condemned under... You know, if you want to live under the old covenant, go right ahead. But there's nothing but condemnation. There's nothing but judgment. There's no life there. There's no good deed you could do. There's no law you can keep. There's not one commandment that you could keep that gives you eternal life. Paul said this. He said, if there had been a commandment which could have given eternal life, surely righteousness would have been by the law. But there wasn't a commandment. There wasn't a deed you could do to get there. You're just not that good. And none of us were. That's why Jesus had to come. He had to come. Because our goose was cooked.
Amen.
Stick the fork in, we're done. Our problem is not what we do. Our problem is who we are.
Yeah.
Our very nature, we were lost. We were born in sin. Hallelujah. We need to be born again. Okay. So, this, even so, through one man's righteous act, 18th verse, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Right standing with God. Justification. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. You're made that way. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. You don't earn righteousness. You're made righteous. And you were made righteous through the act of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You were made righteous by what He did. And this is the work of God. It is a God thing. And He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise and all the honor. Hallelujah. We're saved by what He did, not by what I did. All I did is accept it. Amen. Receive it. I received the gift. Hallelujah. So, made righteous by what Jesus did. Made a sinner by what Adam did. You getting wet sitting over there? Y'all just being... Just behaving, okay. All right. Just checking. I was a little both, okay. You were made, you know, you weren't a sinner because you sinned. You sinned because you're a sinner. And you didn't become righteous by doing righteous acts. You do righteous acts because you're righteous. Isn't that right? I don't do righteous acts to be righteous. I do righteous acts because I've been made righteous.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Oh, I got it. Oh! I'm just doing it for you because I know you're feeling it. I know you're feeling it. You're wanting to do that. Okay. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Jesus made us righteous. He did it all. Oh, He did everything I couldn't do. He paid the price for me when I couldn't pay it. He did what it was impossible for me to do. You know, when I got saved, 3 days before I got saved, I decided I was going to quit cussing, quit smoking dope, quit doing drugs. And I went out like a day. I didn't say a cuss word. And I thought, you know, that's what I got to do. I mean, I came out of jails and drugs, some wild lifestyle, and it got to where I didn't believe in God. And then I started to believe maybe there is a God. And then I had a guy, a foreman on my job, begin to witness to me, and I made fun of every day. Just made it was sickening the things I did to him. You know, him trying to help me and trying to minister to me. And I grabbed his hands one time. He was telling me about God, and I said, "Oh, you believe in God?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And I grabbed his hands and I just cussed God for all he was worth right there. I said, "Where is he?" Still standing, you know. He turned red, turned around, walked off. I thought he'd fire me, but he didn't. Come back next day, start telling about the Lord again.
Wow.
He was a simple guy. He wasn't a real complicated guy. I mean, he just loved God. Loved God. Well, after about 6 months of that, man, I started realizing how flaky I was and how consistent he was. I woke up a new world every day, you know. And I began to entertain the idea that there might be a God. And then I began to read a Bible. Brenda started going back to church. Brenda was a Christian. We'd been married a real short time at that time, a year and a half or so. And she started going to, a couple years, excuse me. She started going to church, and I didn't. In fact, I remember two guys came, visitation, you know, she went to Little Baptist Church. They came, knocked on the door, had their Bibles in her hand. And I opened the door, and they said, "Is Brenda Williams here?" And I stepped out and closed the door, and I said, "Yes, she is. What do you want with her?" I never will forget that. And they... I looked down, I saw those Bibles, and they said, "We're from a certain church, and she visited." I said, "Well, okay." And I opened the door and let them in. I went back to the bedroom. I didn't want to be in there. Those Bibles and talking about the Lord, you know, because God had been dealing with me. But
yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
But I accepted Jesus. You know, I accepted, I received this grace. I tried to be good. I tried to do it right. You know, I thought, well, if I clean myself up, but you can't clean yourself up. You've got to come as you are and let God work on you. And he did a work in me. And, you know, I thought, maybe if I didn't cuss, I'd be okay. But I was going straight to hell. Maybe if I didn't do drugs. Maybe, I even put the drugs up on a shelf. I remember in a closet, I stuck them up on a shelf just in case this didn't work, you know. And after about 3 days of that, I guess I was just about the most miserable person on the face of the earth about that time. At least I felt like I was. I felt like a shell of a man. I felt so empty. I felt so worthless. I felt so hopeless. I thought, God, I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to make it. I can't do this. I cannot do this. I remember. Now, that's my own struggle. I was just 19, but I was serious. I was trying to get right. And I came in and asked Jesus to come into my heart. I called on him is what I did. I didn't know all the exact terminology. I'd been reading my Bible, you know, but I didn't understand it. I started reading Revelation. That's a good thing to read when you're lost. That'll clear things up for you, you know. So I'm going, what? What is this? And I came in that afternoon, about 3 days of that, trying it, and I said, I never will forget. I laid down and I just said, God, I can't do this. And I don't. That's the first time I ever remember seriously praying. I said, God, I can't do this. And I said, Jesus, if you can help me. Help me. That's all I said. I said, Jesus, if you can help me, help me. Now the Bible says, Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I didn't have everything all technically right there, okay? But I did believe in him, and I called on him.
Amen.
Are you with me? I found out later what I did. I found out later what that all meant. But I believe that day, that moment in time, that minute, right then, I got saved.
Amen.
Right then.
Amen.
I got up. I didn't have a big, huge experience. I cry a whole lot more now than I did then. I got up, and I walked in there and took those drugs off the shelf and flushed them down the commode. I did. I remember doing that. I just remember all those details, you know. And And we started looking. I started looking for a church to go to immediately. Went to one for Sunday school that morning, didn't like it. In between Sunday school and church, I went to another one for church. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I wasn't religious, you know. I just didn't know. I was looking for somewhere. And I'll tell you, the party's been on ever since. That was 36 years ago. Hallelujah. But what I received was a gift. It's a gift. The gift of eternal life. The gift of righteousness. Changed my life.
Amen.
All of a sudden, it got real easy serving God. All of a sudden, I'd say a cuss word or two after that. And I'd, shoot, man, that's terrible. I shouldn't say that. And I started working on that. All of a sudden, I started changing the music I listened to. All of a sudden, I started changing people I hung around with. Well, they just quit hanging around me, I guess, because I was a nut after I got saved. But I was a nut for Jesus. Amen? Things begin to be different because of this grace that God graced me. God just gave me what I could not do. God just said, son, if you'll just trust me, I'll do it for you. You're trying to do that on you? You can't do, you know. You are never going to do that. If you'll just call on me, I'll give you what you want. That's what he did in Jesus. He gave us what we could never, ever have any other way in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, last two verses, and I won't comment. We'll just read them. Like you believe that. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but when sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read you the New Living Translation. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll tell you what I believe rules my life, grace. I believe grace rules my life now, not sin. That's what God intended. That's what you should get a hold of. You should understand that God is a God of grace, not a God of condemnation. Oh, there's judgment. There's going to be judgment coming. And there's consequences for your sin, no question about it. But God is about grace. God's about ruling by grace. He's about favor. He's about blessing you and gifting you and helping you and getting you on your feet again and bringing you out of your sin. Hallelujah. He is on your side, not against you. He's for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. So he is the best thing ever happened in your life. He's not the big ogre with a stick, the policeman in the sky that's passing out tickets every time somebody violates the law. He is the lover of your soul. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is your heavenly Father, and he loves you more than any earthly father ever loved you. But you must come to him.
Amen.
Don't be a prodigal. Come back home. Amen?
Amen.